Amen. Hallelujah. I think we got some on fire teenagers in here. Got some on fire teenagers in here. So I love it, love it, love it, love it. And, you know, I think that's one thing too. It's just building, you know, when you're around other people, you know, that are on fire, it just gets contagious, you know. So that's good, you know. And I don't like it where it's, you know, where it's everything's forced on people. You know, you have to read your Bible. You have to do these things. It's like, well, I get to. And I learn things, and I'm transformed by the Word. And so tonight, we're going to dive more into about the kingdom of God. Yes. But it's so encouraging to see the youth and the kids are really excited about Amen. Praying together and doing things. And, you know, it's just such a blessing, you know, when you're, you know, those kids or you see people when they develop where you don't have to tell them to do everything, right? Well, we're still kind of in that. But you know, but it's when they just take the initiative to pray and they just do things and that's just that's instinct and, you know, they just begin to pray for one another and do these things. So, you know, that's what's encouraging and, you know, it kind of tells other people this is okay to do. And so, anyway, we've got some bold teens in here. I love them. They're awesome. And it's good to, you know, inspire one another and to, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, encouraging one another in the epistles. So it's always good to just spur one another. Yes. Yes. So absolutely awesome. And for sure. So anyway. So, we'll, Romans 14:17. We'll start there tonight. Romans 14:17. And, you know, we're going to kind of get into a few things tonight, continue on the kingdom of God. But Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So it's natural. Now, in the King James, often meat means meal or food or not just the actual meat. But it does mean meal often and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we can often say sometimes when we read the word, what's the kingdom of darkness? Just the opposite. Turmoil, right? Stress, fear, condemnation is the opposite of righteousness, right? It's condemnation. Righteousness just simply means we're in right position or right standing with God. You know, we see people in the Bible, we see Noah was considered righteous. He wasn't born again, but he was positioned correctly in that time period, in that dispensation, for to be righteous. And then we see in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, talks about the great faith chapter. It talks about people like Noah, Abraham, right? That hall of faith chapter that we see, those people were considered righteous. Because why? It's the kingdom of God. They were in the kingdom of God. And so 1 John 4:8 says, but anyone who does not love God does not know God, for what? For God is love. We can separate ourselves from the kingdom of God and will not experience him by avoiding these items. So one of them is experiencing that is just simply the law of love. We see there in Matthew and in John and in other places where Jesus talks about the love, meaning, you know, the greatest commandment is love. We had somebody asked him there in the Gospels, you know, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with your entire heart. Love your neighbors yourself, right? So these are elements of the kingdom. And let's skip down to Isaiah 26:3. Some new things tonight, but Isaiah 26:3. We're reading King James and the Amplified. We got time tonight, so we'll read the Amplified, right? That's the ladies' version. That's right, yeah. The wordy version. We like it. The wordy. The Amplified. Now it's like the Amplified, and they got the Amplified Classic. It's like, it's just the Amplified to me. Okay, we got to complicate things now. You know, it's like we got 42,000 different translations, which is kind of neat, but then also it's like, do we need an Amplified now? We've got the Classic. And so, I don't know. Was it like kind of one of those Coke and Coke, you know, the Coke Classic and the new Coke thing, you know, people kind of like the Cracker Barrel. I won't go there. All right. We won't talk about the Cracker Barrel thing, but I was like, oh boy, the Cracker Barrel thing. Woo, buddy. Let's not go there. Oh boy. Look out. Step in that mess. We don't want to go there. But it's just the old and right. And so, King James, if you, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what stayed on him because he trusts in thee, right? Amplified says, you will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. He's going to keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind on him, right? Hebrews 4:12, we're going to dig in a little deeper here. Hebrews 4:12, I'm going to read it in King James and they amplify it again. And it says, for the word of God, you notice how it doesn't say prophecy? You know? It says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here we go. Piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Right? Now the soul, you know, I remember years ago, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin would talk about other ministers. And when I grew up, the only thing that we talked about was, you know, the body and the soul. Right? Nobody talked about the spirit. You know, I mean, even though, you know, the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says, you know, the spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. The Apostle Paul had delineated those two. But most of the times when I was in years ago, it was only soul and body, right? Well, we got three souls saved tonight. Well, not really, but, you know, it's just what we were used to, right? I didn't know the difference between soul and spirit. But, you know, here he doesn't say, the Apostle Paul does not say the body. He says the soul and the spirit. What's the soul? That's your mind, will, and emotions. And the spirit is what is regenerated according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? We're a new creature. That's the part that Jesus comes and redeems us, makes us a new creature. That's the spirit, okay? And your spirit, man, looks just like the outward body. Right? The Apostle Paul refers to it as the real you, which is your spirit. It's the real you. That's when, you know, we, you know, if you live a long life and Lord, there's not a rapture anytime soon and you step over to be with Jesus, I mean, you know, medically, you lose about 10 pounds when you die. So that tells me that the spirit is an actual entity, right? How do you, where, why do you lose about 10 to 15 pounds at the time of death? Because your spirit, there's some kind of matter there. When it leaves your body, there's some kind of, there is some substance with your spirit. Right? So your spirit is real. It's going to go one place. It's going to go heaven or hell. Depends on if you're born again or not. Right? But the soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And what it does, the word of God, what it divides the soul's spine, it exposes those things in you, right? Have you ever read the Bible before and you're just like, ooh, ow, that hurts, right? You know? Don't complain. You're like, ooh, okay, well. Right? You get in the car, click, 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 don't. Right? Got to buy a new battery or something. Like, count it all joy. When it click, 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 click. Then it goes on and says, joints of marrow, and is the discerner, here we go, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's that saying? The Bible is going to read your mail. Right? It's going to read your, it's going to expose you for who you are. The Word of God is going to expose you, but that's a good thing. The Amplified says, "For the Word of God is living and active and full of power in making operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, and the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, and the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart." Right? It's so funny because I got, you know, family members live in the South, and Adrian and I, you know, lived in Oklahoma for a while and everything too. And you ever notice too, when you're around Southern folks, that everything is, "Well, bless your heart." And you're like, it sounds polite, but I think you're throwing somebody under the bus, right? Because that could mean a whole lot of things. Like, "Well, bless your heart," meaning you're kind of an idiot, right? I mean, that's kind of their way of saying, it sounds real nice, right? I mean, you know, you've been in the South, or, you know, have people in the South or anything. I love them. I love Southern folks, but it's like they can have this little passive-aggressive thing where it's like, it sounds polite, but it's a dig, right? I mean, it's just, they're saying it sounds good, right? All the kids are going now, something will happen. I go, "Are you smart?" That's kind of the thing they say now. It's like, we're kind of getting around what we're, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, we understand what you're saying. What is the Word of God? It exposes our intentions, doesn't it? And then 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. You know, that whole love your enemies thing and everything too. You get into that part. It's like, oh boy. Boy, that's a tough one. "Count it all joy when you fall into adverse temptations." I don't know about that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, this is a New Living Translation, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure," here we go, "many trials for a while." Wait a minute, I have faith. I'm not going to go through trials, right? "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Now, I remember I was, and we're talking about the kingdom now. Again, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And one of the things is joy. And we had read last week about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I remember I was listening to Andrew Womack. He popped. I was listening to him this week and meditating on some things. He had a really, it was interesting because he's got a couple of sons. And he said he was, all of a sudden got a call from one of his sons, and he said his son called and said that his other son was dead. And he's like, "Wow, that's how do I handle this?" You know, Andrew Watermack's a minister. And I said, "Don't say another word. Don't say another word." And so he said, "I had a temptation for grief to overtake me," right? The temptation to begin to just fall into despair was so great. But he says, "I use it to worship God," right? He says, "I began to just be joyful, worship God, praise God." Because he said, the first report doesn't have to be the last report. And he said he drove, 2 or 3 hours to the hospital. And he just was praising God and everything, and he was just like, I was just full of joy. He goes, like, I just got the report my son's dead, right? Got there, and he said, when he walked in the hospital, his son sat up and talked to him. He'd been dead for 40 minutes, right? The temptation was to get in fear. The temptation was, right, that he was facing a trial here. Must endure trials. These trials shall what? Show your faith is genuine. What do trials do? They expose where you're at, and it confirms what God already knows, right? That's all trials going to do. Now, we live in this world, and of course there's going to be, you know, you're sitting around long enough, you're going to lose family members, you're going to, you know, friends. I mean, I just, you know, on Facebook and everything else too, it's just amazing how many people pass away that even, you know, my age and young, it's just, after time, you're going to lose people, you know? Well, it doesn't mean necessarily I'm not in faith, but it's like there are tests and there are trials that we're going to go through. And I would just say this, it just, unfortunately, much of the Pentecostal or word of, I don't want to say word of faith, but sometimes the charismatic, some of the camps of, as if bad things happen to you, then you don't have faith. That's nonsense. That's just nonsense, right? Because the Bible says we're going to go through trials. Then if it's a faith issue, then we should be able to build our faith and overcome trials, right? But we're going to go through trials. And what happens is I feel like people get mad or bitter against God because they're saying, well, I believe God and this didn't happen. Well, guess what? You're not the healer and I'm not the healer. We don't heal people. Do the best I can. I prayed for people that have been instantly healed and instantly delivered, and I prayed for other people, they weren't healed. But guess what? God's still good. And it's really none of my business sometimes why somebody does receive healing and why somebody doesn't. I'm just walking by faith. I'm doing my part, right? Jesus does the healing. I'm the one that lays hands on them, right? Well, so-and-so got this person healed. They didn't heal anybody. God just worked through them. That was it, right? I don't heal anybody. I've laid hands on people before and God's healed them. I have nothing to do with it. It's all Jesus, right? You can't heal anybody. I can't heal anybody. But what it does come back to, there's trials and tests and what happens. What, you know, and I find it interesting too that right when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, what's the first thing the Holy Spirit led him to do? To be tempted, right? And we want to rebuke trials all the time. Well, the devil's just coming after me. The devil, you know, and all the time. Sometimes you're just going to go through stuff, right? We just see here that it's more precious that your faith being tested is more precious than gold. Everybody, well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Really? Jesus went through junk? You don't think that you're not going to go through junk? He's the Son of God. I mean, it is what it is, right? Just live long enough, you're going to experience financial challenges, emergencies, right? Kids' braces, doctor bills, right? Cars breaking down, you know? I rebuke that in Jesus' name, right? And it's like, well, you got that old, you know, rusted out, you know. I got a Chevy, so I'll use Chevy, you know. Rust it up, Chevy. It's got 400,000 miles on it. Something's going to break, right? I mean, it's just, you know, we got an engineer in the house. I mean, it just, stuff just breaks down. It just happens. I was in a church one time and around people and everything's of the, well, that's of the devil. And the devil's just attacking me. And the devil's just attacking me, right? Well, you're driving a clunker and something's going to break down, right? I mean, it's just like, you know, I've had clunkers before. It is life. You know, we live in this world. Stuff's going to break down, you know. And, but we're going to make it through. And that's part of being in the kingdom, having the joy of the Lord is when things do come, say, I'm casting my cares on you. I rest in you. Right? Like the Bible says, can I, you know, add one cubit to my life when I worry? No. No, it doesn't. It just, We're wasting time, right? We're wasting energy. We're just winding ourselves up. And not to say that you don't feel, right? That's, well, you know, if I, just because I feel these things, then I must not be in faith. No, of course you're going to feel pressure. You're going to feel these things. I mean, Jesus sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's just pressure is there. It's, again, but we rely on him. So, Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, it's kind of like, because you can see God, you know, often, sometimes God isn't, you know, it's like your kids, or sometimes we just, you know, they have challenges in life sometimes. It's like, we're not going to run there and rescue them every time. There's got to be a process to be able to learn and to do things. Right? I mean, we just went through driver's ed here, you know? I can't get in the car and drive for you, all right? You're going to have to study, get behind that wheel, and practice and do things. I had to, you know, we all had to drive. I mean, it's just one of those things. There's some things you got to go through, right? You go to school, you go through school, you get a diploma, you do whatever it is, move on. There's just things you have to go through in life, right? But you know, when I was 18, I didn't have the capacity that I do now. And you know why I have a greater capacity now? Because I went through stuff. Yeah. And when I just go through stuff and I overcome it, guess what? I look at the next thing and say, that's not a big deal. I can, you know. Then when I come next time, I got that figured out, right? Mm-hmm. I got that figured out. I can do that. Because it builds your faith. We see here, we just read there in 1 Peter, or I'm sorry, in 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7, that your faith is, it says, the trials will show that your faith is what? Genuine. No test, no testimony. So Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7. We'll read it in the King James, and also too in the Amplified. You know, sometimes we get, you know, when things happen to us. Now there's one thing to say. You know, sometimes you can need to examine yourself and say, hey, did I open up a door? Am I in sin? Are there things going on that, you know, have opened up some things? You know, maybe some things happened to you in your life, or maybe there's some things you need to change. But when we're so focused on why is this happening all the time and trying to psychoanalyze everything, we're not, it can cause more questions and more problems than it is, right? Again, there's some things you can examine, and of course, you know, if you're not seeing success in areas or what have you, then you can sit back and say, okay, there are the things I need to change. But I know people that, you know, years ago I was praying for somebody, and he just didn't get instantly, he had cancer, and he just did not get instantly healed, and we prayed for him, but he went from going to the doctor every month to every 2 months to every 6 months to once a year. Well, why didn't they get healed instantly? I don't know. But you recovered, right? I mean, we're seeing progress here, right? We're going to stumble over the pebble here, but we're kind of missing the whole big picture, right? Yeah, it's like, okay, you're like a year, like within a year, you went from a year ago, we were praying Sandy Faith, from, you know, every month you were having a checkup and the doctors were just all over you, to like every other month, to 6 months, to a year. Then it was like after that, Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Right here, our gray matter. Actually, men and women, and they're actually our gray matter is different. So once I think I can't remember one's gray and one's the other one. It's anyway. I just say gray matter because that's what we use. But our brains are physically different. So but I'll just use gray matter. Your brain, all right? It's between your ears, and so whatever you think, that's what you are. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with you. Amplified says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he in behavior, one who manipulates. He says to you, eat and drink, yet his heart is not with you, but is begrudging the cost. So what this means is, For he thinks in his heart, here we go, so is he. That's where we go back to Hebrews chapter 4, and it says the word of God will expose you. Right? You ever those people too, everything, you know, you ever talk to those people like you've been to like a high school reunion or you haven't seen everybody, everything, and you're like, how's everything going? Man, everything is going great. I'll tell you, my life is exploding. It is incredible. Just awesome. And you're thinking, yeah, okay. You know those people that go overboard to try to convince you of something, right? You know, man, my life is incredible. Like they're one of those guys on like Tony Robbins or something, you know, the inspirational, you know, speakers and everything. They're just all, you know, wow. You know, this is incredible. You know, it's so incredible. Everything's awesome. Really? Because deep down inside, what you really think is who you are. It's going to come out. And again, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And how are we going to do that? It's from the Word of God. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which what passes all understanding, shall what? Keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ. You never notice too? There's a big emphasis on your mind and your thinking, what you say in the Bible, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that we're to keep our bodies and our minds under subjection to the Lord, aren't we? Now, he didn't say spirit because he is the one who recreates our spirit. But it's your body and your soul, right? We are the ones that are supposed to keep our minds. So again, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. You know, they're just stuff you don't understand. And that peace is going to help bridge those, help you during those times where you don't understand what's going on. Like I mentioned earlier, if you're sitting there the whole time going, why this happened, why this happened, why this happened, there's some health to that, to examine yourself and say, you know, I mean, what's going on? Can I change some things? Can I make things better for next time? But the devil will take you down a path you don't want to go. You will, you know, be obsessed. I remember one time, Adrian and I, we had friends of ours. Terrible story. We were eating with, they were doing youth in our old church, and we had gone out to eat. Well, we went to their house, and they were going to take a trip to Texas, and he was an ex-veteran. He's a veteran. And he was stationed in Texas, and they were out there. But anyway, long story short, we were there, ate with them. They got murdered in Texas, and it was a horrible thing. It was terrible, but thank you, President Trump, that he did not let them off of it, and he signed the executive order to have them executed. So it's like, so the people that murdered our friends, Trump was like, nope, it was all over the news too, and I'm like, yes. So it happened in the late 90s, I think, early 2000s, but it was terrible. It was like, I can't even talk about it. It's so terrible what they did to him, but anyway. Trump would not let him pardon. He said, nope, they're going to be executed, what they did. And I'm like, yes, thank you. But his mother was so distraught and kept asking why and couldn't, you know. And of course, it's terrible. You know, you lose a child and it's just so devastating. But, you know, she began to open herself up to familiar spirits because she was so obsessed with, it drove her to the point where she had to see him. And what happened was this familiar spirit would show up and fellowship with her because she was so obsessed with the why. And what happened was then she began to open herself up to these things. And these things would visit her, and it was awful and terrible. When you do open yourselves up to those things, very demonic. And we see the Old Testament under the Levitical law, that's a no-no. We definitely don't want to open ourselves up to the demonic realm. But see, it can open us up so much that we're into the why, that we open ourselves up and we become obsessed with it. I've known people before where they're just so obsessed, they can't get into the kingdom and they can't get into the joy and the peace and everything. They're just so obsessed with these things. What happens is the devil will play on your obsession and feed that rather than stepping back and say, wait a minute, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? I'm going to go through trials. You know, I'm going to see things happen around me. You know, there's going to be things happen, but I'm going to stay in the kingdom. I'm going to stay in his presence. And so 1 Peter 2:2, we'll close here in a moment. 1 Peter 2:2. First Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, here we go, desire the sincere milk of prophecy. Right? Desire the sincere milk of parking lot prophets. No. Desire the sincere milk of YouTube prophets, right? Right? Just, you notice how some people on YouTube and everything, you're like, who are you connected with? Where did you go to school? All of a sudden, it's just like I'm popped up on YouTube and I'm, you know, I've got all this, you know, credibility. Nobody even knows who you are. And all of a sudden, it's like we're prophesying things and we're doing things. It says what? Sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. We don't grow by prophecy, even though prophecy can be, you know, can be good. It can be beneficial. And there's how many people are just, you know, well, this person had a prophet, prophesied this, and this person prophesied this, and this person prophesied this. Then we move on to Amos 3:7, which they all quote. They all quote this scripture. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but what? Reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. They always like to use this scripture. Right? You know what's so crazy? What's so interesting? When Brother Hagin was a prophet, a New Testament prophet, he never, ever quoted the scripture. He never quoted it. Ever. Why? Because he won, and his focus was for you to be led by the Spirit and for you to get into the Word and for you to hear God for yourself. Right? Now, prophecy should confirm some things and help people, and it only just, again, it should confirm what's already in our heart, and it should bear witness with us. But if we're going to be in the kingdom, the focus is on the Word and, of course, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said there at the woman of the well, right? There's going to be many rivers flow, you know, rivers. You'll thirst, you know, you're not going to thirst anymore with this water or the well, which means depths, which means, again, Spirit. The Word and Spirit. He referred to the Word and the Spirit. So both are important. But we're going to grow through the Word. When we get, you know, focused on, you know, this prophecy or this prophecy, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this prophet said this, and this prophet. I mean, that can be interesting, but again, we're not growing, right? I love end time prophecy. You know, I love reading Daniel and Revelation and, you know, a lot of end time things, but I was listening to a guy a while back, like, you know, what, last year or something, and he was talking about the, you know, the four horsemen and the that, you know, COVID was this and that we've already experienced these things. And I'm like, whoa. Right? Well, we've already, you know, people have already, like, we've, you know, we've already lived through the millennium and all these other things. And again, let's focus on the Word. You know, let's go back to the Bible. What's the Bible say about things? Let's grow in the Word. And, so, you know, some people can definitely use, but I will say this. I mean, I definitely agree with the statement, Amos 3:7, that God does reveal things to his prophets. He sure does. We see prophets in New Testament prophets. Again, we see in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is a fivefold ministry gift that God uses. In the Old Testament, it was prophets and kings, and then, of course, priests. Those were the three that had the anointing on them. So we're definitely in a different dispensation. And there's, you look at, I love how Brother Hagin talks about, and you see the Apostle Paul, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But I love how, let's just the first part of Romans. Romans chapter 1, I'll read this to you. And it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Here we go, separated unto God. Here we go, unto the what? The gospel of God. He refers to the gospel right at the beginning. And then he's in verse 2. It says, we have had promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So he refers to the Holy Scriptures, which is what? The Word of God. What was Paul, even though Paul was an apostle, what was his main ministry was to teach, right? And we see it right here. He wrote most of the New Testament. And of course he saw supernatural things. And of course all these wonderful things happen. And but it's a result of the what? The Word of God. Look at sorry, guys. I got overstuffed the turkey here. But where? Mark. We'll close here. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And Jesus in verse that chapter is giving all of this. Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to preach the gospel to the world. You notice how he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The good news, the Word of God. You notice how the Word is first and then all the other manifestations come after. And then he says in verse 20, and they went forth preaching everywhere. Again, preaching the Word. The Word went forth. Everybody's trying to do supernatural miracles, but we're not focused on the Word. And then what he said here, the Lord working with them, here we go, confirming the Word. He didn't say he was confirming miracles. He was confirming the Word with signs following. The Word's always, it's always what we're focused on. And things will manifest from that. Romans 8:14. 14:17. Again, we're talking about the kingdom of God. Finally, we'll end with this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It doesn't say we're led by prophets, right? Prophets are important. But we're led by His Spirit in this New Testament, in this New Covenant. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Right? See, in the Old Testament, they had to go to a prophet to hear a word, to receive something from God. Right? The prophets spoke to the people on God's behalf. The prophet ministered to God on behalf of the people. So they couldn't hear. They didn't have the option to have the Holy Spirit in them and upon them for the Holy Spirit to speak to them directly, so they had to go to a prophet. So very different, Old and New Testament. And since we are His children, we are His heirs, and in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory, but we are to share His glory. Uh-oh, and I want to read this next part. We must also share His what? The blessings, right? No, His suffering. That's something we don't talk about, the suffering. That's pretty unpopular. You don't get very big offerings when you talk about suffering, right? Hey, guys, we're going to talk about suffering tonight. Yeah, let's talk about that. Invite your friends. It'll be a blessing, right? We'll talk about the blessings of suffering. Yay. Probably not going to sell too many CDs or too many clicks on YouTube for that message, are we? Right? But it's maturing. It's growing. It's growing. I don't like that. Does that make me feel good? I love what Adrian said earlier. What did you say earlier about where he's in charge? Or I don't know what you said earlier about music team. Work for him, and he doesn't work for him.
God doesn't work for me. I work for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And most Christians are, you know, God's a slot machine. Make me feel good. Ch-ch-ching. Give me the money when I need it. Ch-ch-ching. I'm sick now. Now I'll come and now heal me now. Ch-ch-ching. Right? I like to think about this. I want to just continue to walk with God throughout my whole life. And then when things do pop up, I believe that that I'm going to receive what I need from him. But it's a constant thing. But I don't like come in and out, right? Like a little, you know, like a little kid that comes and, you know, wants money for candy, you know, only shows up when he or she wants something, right? You know, your kids are like that too, you know. We get in the car. Can we get ice cream? You know?
And then they don't like it.
Right. It's like, we've been hiding in your bedroom all night and everything, and then we get out, and then it's like, hey, can we get ice cream? Hey, can we do this? Can I have money for this? Can I buy this? Can I, you know? And you still love your kids,
yeah.
Right? And God still loves us. It's not a debate whether God loves us or not, but it's just when we mature, we keep going like this, right? I remember when I was, when I was a kid, you know, when the days in summer, you sleep till 12. Remember those days, you know? You're watching TV, you're doing nothing. Like, I'm coaching softball. One of the girls on our team says, I'm just so tired. I'm like, what'd you do all day? You know? I just laid in bed all day.
Yeah,
right? It's like, we were just laughing about this today. We've got two dogs. And then, you know, when I'm at home working or something, I'll come about 1 o'clock. And they're just lounged out like they just got done with the Boston Marathon. I'm like, you guys did nothing today. You know? And they're just like, oh, just flopped out. Can't even hardly move. I'm like, you're wiped out from doing nothing today. You know, and you look like you just ran the Boston Marathon. It's like, give me a break. But I believe God wants us to grow and to develop, right? Into, we are just absolutely in love with him all the time. We're fellowshipping with him all the time. And then when things pop up, we can do that. But God, you know, hey, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we're made in his image and after his likeness, right? So you think about the things that annoy you as a person, probably annoyed God too. I think about that sometimes. Right? All I'm doing is my hand out all the time. That's not, right? I mean, those of you know, we'd have like Holy Ghost meetings and things years ago. For some people, we'd have, it's amazing. You have all the people, you know, all the immature people that would show up for the Bless Me session.
Right.
And that's okay, because they want to be blessed too. And there's some people that come from other churches and everything too. But it's like, they're there for the Bless Me session, and then they never darken the door of a church again, right? Till the next one. You know, I've been at several churches where, you know, we have all the, you know, the Holy Ghost meetings or things we'll have special guests in and everything, and that's good. You know, I mean, we want people to come. We're not discouraging people, but it's like they're just there for the Bless Me session, and you're thinking, you know what? God's smarter than me, and he probably figures out when I'm just wanting stuff from him, right? Probably. Because when I was young and mature, everything would go down, or, you know, this is terrible, awful. God, please help me. I promise I'll never do it again. Oh, help me, God. Help me. Help me. Oh, Jesus. Help me, God. Help me. And then what happens, you know? But we live in the kingdom. We live in that righteousness and that peace and that joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? We maintain that. Now, it's not easy to stay there. And we're all working. I'm working on it. I mean, you know, it's something I'm just, every day we're walking out our salvation. I'm not perfect. We're all still working things out. What it means, we're striving to go, God, I want to know you more. I want to walk with you more. I want to be in your kingdom. And I know that, you know, stuff's just, sometimes just life's going to happen. But I love you regardless. And that has no bearing on my love for you. The things that have happened to me in the past or future or whatever, it doesn't matter. I still love you. Father, we just thank you tonight so much for you and your kingdom, Lord Jesus, that you're more than enough, God.
Amen.
You are more than enough. And we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus, as just lovers of your presence, and we just want to be close to you, Lord God, that we pray tonight that your glory would just rest on us, Lord, tonight, and that we would just, again, experience you on a greater level, not because of what you can give us, but just because of who you are. We love you, and we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody.